Hello and you're very welcome to this week's Young Stock Podcast. I'm Siobhan Walsh and I'm hoping we're coming near the end of this wet spell. It's hitting all farmers very badly, whether that be grazing, fertiliser for silage that's not out, or in my main sector, tillage farmers have basically no spring crops planted across the country. So all farmers really need a break from the rain. Now, along that line for this week's show, we spoke to Conor Condren. Conor works for Black Silo Commodity Consulting, and a big part of his job is managing the risk involved in trading commodities, helping farmers to reduce risk and travelling around the world, meeting customers and keeping an eye on crops and weather. Conor was in Brazil at the start of this year and is heading to Romania this week, and all the while he's working with farmers as well here in Ireland. This podcast is supported by Lightsource BP.
Are you eager to unlock untapped potential and create more income from your land? Have you been exploring ways of diversifying your farming business? Do you want to become a key player in the solution to the climate crisis? Why not consider leasing your land for solar with Lightsource BP? A solar lease offers Irish farmers a predictable long-term revenue stream, index-linked to keep up with inflation, and the best part is that you'll still be able to use the land for farming if you want to. Lightsource BP has a long history of developing solar in Ireland. We've been on the island for a decade and have developed hundreds of megawatts of renewable energy projects. Speak to our local teams to find out how a Lightsource BP solar lease could benefit your farming business today by visiting www.lightsourcebp.com/IE and clicking partner with us.
Conor Condren, welcome to the Young Stock Podcast. Thanks very much for taking time out to join us.
Thanks very much for having me on. I wouldn't be used to doing anything like this.
You're a risk manager, Conor, not your everyday job. You work for a new company, Black Silo. We'll get to that later on, but tell us a bit about yourself.
28 years of age. I'm from a village called Rattan, which is about 3 miles outside of Tullamore in County Offaly. I play hurling for Shamrocks GA Club, and I have some good bit of news. I got engaged at the weekend to Aideen. She's a full-time veterinary nurse and a part-time cake maker. So I'm going to give you a shameless plug if you'll allow me.
Work away, Conor.
So you'll find her on Instagram and it's queen_cakes142. So now.
Very good. Well, that's big news. Hot off the press, so on the Young Stock.
Yeah, so. Very much so.
Very, very good. Well, you had to give her a plug. So I wonder now, did you have to consider the risks now before you went into that? Did you have to do a risk management plan now before you got down on one knee?
Most definitely. You can be sure that all the plans were in place. And I don't know about hedging your bets now or anything. I don't know if that quite applies to this one. But we're both delighted.
That's great. Well, congratulations from everyone in the Young Stock team. Shamrocks GA, is that Mucklan, no?
It'll be Mucklan and Rattan, yeah.
Mucklan and Rattan. Sorry, I'm offending you now.
No, you're not offending me at all. But no, I suppose the correct way of saying it is, it's Mucklan, Rattan, and there's a place called the Island as well. So it's okay. Kind of three places all coming together to form a GA club.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we have Tullamore Farm over there beside.
Yes.
Mucklan. Very good.
I'm actually familiar with it, and I was familiar with the previous owners of the farm as well.
Yeah, Grogan's. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Right. Yeah, they're still keeping an eye on us over there anyway. They're Parg's.
Yeah.
Parg's always checking in on us. People listening in who've been to Tullamore Farm probably passed by Shamrocks GA. I'm from Laois, Conor, so we have Offaly now in the championship next Sunday.
Okay. I think the Miners, Offaly Miners, I seen the halftime score last night. I think Offaly were winning. Now I didn't see the final result, so.
Jeez, I never checked in.
I'm not jumping the gun there.
I'm still gloating off Division 4 win, you know. So
yeah, congratulations on that one.
Very good. You're from Offaly. You're 28, but you've been working since you came out of college, Conor. So you did ag in college, but you're very interested in agriculture and farming. So where did that come from?
I don't live on a farm, but I did grow up on a farm. My uncle's farm is literally right beside us. So I spent most of my evenings, weekends and summer holidays down there. He was originally a suckler farmer.
Yeah.
And he made the move to dairy in, I think it was 2016, thereabouts.
Okay.
And he's now milking close to 140 cows on 2 Lely robots.
Right.
And I suppose I'd also have to mention I'm marrying a farmer's daughter, so that probably counts as well somewhere.
Very good. Yeah. So you have a big interest. So you obviously help your uncle a nice bit then. You've gone up the cow numbers quite quickly then, you know, in the 8 years.
Yeah, he started off. I remember when I was actually in third year of college on placement and I actually done my dairy placement with him. He started off on one Lelly robot with 70 heifers. Yeah, I remember my dairy experience would have been down there getting 70 heifers shaved and trained onto a robot for the first time. So it was new to the heifers, but it was also new to both myself and my uncle and David, his son, as well. It was a tough going at times.
And the robots, how did your uncle decide to go for a robot and what do you think of him?
I think he kind of puts it best himself. I kind of heard him say one day that Suckler Enterprise wasn't making a viable return, let's call it. So he looked at other options and dairy was an option, but he said himself he wasn't going to milk cows. So if a robot wasn't put onto the farm, I don't think he'd be milking cows today. So it was either robots or nothing, I think was the thought process there. How they're going at the minute? Going very well. Like, I think it's horses for courses with robots. Some people love them, some people hate them. Suits some farms, doesn't suit others. But I think it's very much down to the farmer themselves whether they're suited to robots or not. And can't complain about them at all. On my uncle's farm, he's delighted with them, and there's nothing to give out about with them. They're a great system as far as we're concerned. Anyway,
you're right there. They're suited to different people, and a lot of people who have them really get on well with them and like the system that they are and the technology and everything. So you went into ag in UCD, was it?
I did. I done ag science, agricultural science in UCD, and I specialised in animal and crop production. I graduated there in, geez, I must get it right, I think it was 2017. During COVID, I also did a diploma in University College Cork down in UCD for it was a management course as well, so that kind of entertained me during COVID.
Okay, that's good. You kept going with the education, animal and crop production. I did that myself as well. Did you like that course?
I did. It was a nice mix of between the practical side, understanding the practical side, but also understanding the more technical side of both crops and the animal nutrition side of it as well. So that kind of I found it very interesting that way.
I know some people do animal science and they really like it, but I think animal and crop production is a good one. It doesn't kind of narrow you down to one subject. You're still doing enough of the animals and the nutrition. You have the best of both worlds, really.
Exactly, yeah. It's a nice mix.
When you talk about nutrition there, so after college then you went to work for Grennan's.
I did. I worked for J. Grennan & Sons just outside Burr, the feed mill for anyone that doesn't know them. I finished college in May and I started with Grennan's then in June. So it was literally straight into work. I was there for, it was just over 6 years, I think.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed my time there, to be fair. I got to learn loads and I met an awful lot of wonderful people. I met some lifelong friends as well. So it was great that way. While I was there, I kind of had let's just say over the 6 years, it was a kind of a wide variety of jobs and wide experiences. So I kind of would have started off with Tim Guinan on the formulations and the nutrition side of things.
Okay.
And I would have then, after a while, I moved over and I would have been kind of working with Michael Burke, would have been my mentor at the time for the purchasing and retail and wholesale sales. My kind of last step in the line then was I made a move to a branch, and it was a branch manager up until the time that I made the move to Black Silo.
Okay, very good. God, you got great experience in Grennan's. Grennan seems like a lovely place to work. There is a good team there. I know a few that work there and there is a great team about the place.
There is. There's a great ethos there and they really do give you a wide experience throughout the entire business. So it was great to get that.
When you were doing the formulations and that, were you working with farmers or was it the mail or what side of it or was it both?
It was a bit of both, to be honest. A lot of the formulations in the mill were all done in one office kind of thing. So it all kind of fell under the one umbrella, and that's the formulations and the nutrition side of it kind of were under the one umbrella, because the formulations I kind of associate more with the mill, whereas nutrition I associate with the farmers. So actually making diet plans, which obviously incorporated the formulations from the mill. So they kind of fell under the one.
Very good. You got to work with farmers then. So was that a part of the job that you enjoyed, Conor?
Oh, it was. Yeah, that was probably... It was one of my most favourite parts of the job, because when I got out on the road, I'd say I was within Grinnan, I'd say 2 years before I actually got out on the road, or could have, yeah, it was a year and a half, 2 years before I got out on the road, say, I call it nearly full time, meeting and dealing with farmers and wholesale customers in as well. And yeah, I really enjoyed that because I consider myself a bit of a people person. So I enjoy that interaction between different people.
You got great experience then when you were in Grennan's, and then you got into trading then while you were there.
That's how I got to know Rory in the first place. So Grennan's would have hedged some grain on behalf of their farmers.
Yeah.
And Rory, who I now work for, was working in a broker, a futures and options broker up in Dublin at the time called Stonex. And Grennan's would have hedged the grain through them. So that's how I come to be in contact with Rory and get to know Rory. And it's kind of funny because Rory's only, I'd say he's only 10, 15 minutes max away from my home house.
Okay.
But I didn't actually get to know him until I was phoning Dublin and he was working and living in Dublin at the time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I should have said, so Rory Deverill, he owns Black Silo. He started that company about a year ago or so. You got into the trading then, and now you're in Black Silo. When did you make the move to Black Silo? And I suppose, what is Black Silo? Because a lot of people won't know what it is.
I made the move to Black Silo in September 2023. During that time, Rory had now set up his own company. So Black Silo is a relatively new company. It's only established, I'd say, just about a year old now.
So it's a commodity
consulting company, and it's owned and operated by both Rory and Joanna Deverill, a husband and wife team. So Black Silo specializes in risk management and global grain and oilseed market analysis. Now, I know that sounds like a bit of a mouthful, so we can kind of split it up a bit and go from there if you like, but that's essentially what we do.
Day to day then in your job, what do you do, or who are you dealing with? Are you dealing with farmers anymore? Are you dealing with traders and consultants? Who are these people? Where are they based?
We work with farmers and commercials all across Europe on a daily basis. I'll focus on the farmers for a minute. So we work with those to help them manage their price risk. When you say price risk, it's really their grain price risk that we're looking at. So we help them in terms of establishing their cost of production on farm. And once we establish our cost of production, then we can help them target a margin and help protect that margin for them. So it's basically helping farmers increase their grain margins.
Which is very important at the minute. Like, it must be a really interesting time to work in this job and in risk, because, you know, grain prices went from records in 2022, and they're still really at record prices now, except, you know, they're declining, but they're at some of the highest prices they've ever been. So it must be a really interesting time. It's obviously a very difficult time to be managing risk because, you know, things have gone from lows to highs and back again, but it must be really interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why the volatility, as you kind of touched on there, the volatility in the market has become an enormous factor, much more active than it has been in years gone by. So that makes our job more interesting, but also makes it that little bit harder, because we have to be able to try and manage that volatility volatility can be your friend and it can be your enemy in ways, because if in a volatile market, the market will give you the opportunity to lock in or essentially set even a minimum price for your grain. And if the market spike up, then it gives you the opportunity to lock in a good price for your grain. But then what goes up must come down, as they say, and it can come down just as quick as it goes up. So it's about being able to understand the markets, understand what's going on, and being able to capture those price opportunities when they come about. And knowing how to capture them is another part of what we do in with helping farmers as well.
I deal mainly with grain, like I write tillage in the journal. So I'm looking at grain markets all the time. And it is a big fear among farmers that, oh, will I get the highest price? Will I forward sell my grain? The fear is of missing the highest point in the market a lot of the time. But you have loads of tools, and these tools are available for all commodities, you know, to forward sell and to hedge and to get price insurance as well. So there's loads of different tools. Risk management, it sounds a bit worrying. In simple terms, Connor, what are you really doing?
In very simple terms, well, price risk management is, it's identifying the risk of your grain price and finding ways to manage it. Like, some things we can't control, such as the weather, but we can control our grain price to a certain degree. And by using tools such as price insurance, we can set minimum prices. Now, I stress the word minimum prices, and still leave room for higher prices to come. Farmers in the US and other parts of Europe use these tools already, and we're trying to introduce the same tools to Irish farmers and get them familiar with it, because it will have a benefit to Irish farmers in the long run. It's just a case of starting somewhere and getting the ball rolling on it. Like, rather than forward selling at a fixed price, sell forward at a minimum price. Like, Black Silo has set up a system where we can support farmers to gain access to these tools that are needed in order to set these price insurance targets. We will help and support farmers and educate them on how to use the tools at the right time, capturing the higher price when and if the market gives you the opportunity to do so. So it's really a new concept within Ireland, but we do stress that farmers across the US and other parts of Europe are already using these price insurance and hedging tools on an annual basis.
So you're basically locking into a price and you're paying an insurance to lock in at that price, but it means your price won't drop, but it might go up.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I try to stay away from the word lock in.
Okay.
We're essentially setting a minimum price. So you're essentially purchasing price insurance to set a minimum price for your grain. So if the market falls, you know you're protected. But if something kicks off like we've seen in 2022 when prices shot up, then you still leave yourself open to capture them higher prices, but you're protected against the fall in the market as such.
Okay. And it is new to Ireland. You were doing this in Grennan's with a group of farmers. There are farmers here in Ireland who have done this and are doing this.
Yes, exactly. There are a small minority of farmers out there that have done this before. And we are in contact with some of them, and we are working with some of them as well. But really, they're only essentially the tip of the iceberg in what to do. So we're trying to educate them and bring them along and further help them to understand the market and understand the hedging side of it that little bit more. But yes, to answer your question, yes, there are farmers in Ireland doing it at the minute, but there's not many.
Really, in a way, it's not that complicated, but still, it's kind of a whole other profession. So that's where Black Silo comes in, to help the farmer along the way to do it. Really interesting. So you're talking to people all over Europe, and a big part of it, I suppose, is gathering information from around the world as well. And Black Silo also help with that. So you do a report.
We do. So we do a farmer report, and we also do the Friars report. Now, the Friars reports are more for big trading houses. So they're currently being distributed to about 37 different countries worldwide. Their daily reports focused on global grain and oilseed markets. Our main customers will be large trading companies. But from our point of view, it's very interesting to see all the different market perspectives from both consumers and producers. And that helps us then to piece the market together for an overall view, because we're seeing both sides of the table, because farmers tend to see their side of the table, which is completely understandable. And the commercials tend to only see theirs. So we're kind of in the middle, trying to piece together an overall market view between both sides of the house.
Within that, then, you're doing the Friars report, you're looking up stuff from around the world, you're dealing with different customers. I presume then there's travel in your job, Conor.
Since I started last September, I'd say I've been abroad 8 times or more. So we're actually going to Romania next week. So that'll be an interesting trip as well. In January, probably the most interesting trip of all I've been on so far was in January of this year. I was in Brazil, and I was in Mato Grosso, which is a state within Brazil. It's the main cropping region within Brazil. And just to give a bit of background, Brazil, just to try and understand it a bit and put a sense of scale on it, Brazil produces approximately 150 million tons of soybeans each year and 120 million tons of maize. So it's the world's largest exporter for both soybeans and maize. So that's why it's kind of so important to the whole world grain market, you could say.
It's really becoming a superpower, and it's getting bigger all the time. More importantly, they're able to get their produce out a lot easier than they used to be. Their infrastructure and that is improving. I saw some of your pictures actually so that was a crop tour that you went on in Brazil. Yeah. And God, what a time to go on it, because back in January, there was all issues over the soybean crop, the drought as well, Conor, wasn't there?
Yeah, exactly. So that the trip away or the crop tour was really timely, because like, we went to the region of Mato Grosso because it is one of the, it's the key region for agriculture. Yeah. We traveled around the region and we assessed as many crops as possible. We got into fields, we estimated yields, quality, and the overall crop health. We got to speak with farmers. We got to hear their opinions on the crops, because no one knows their crops better than the farmer themselves. So speaking with them was a very important part of it. So it was great to actually get into fields and get a feel for Brazilian agriculture. And one thing that kind of stood out to me was the sheer scale of agriculture within Brazil, and the way they use agriculture and use the crops. Like, they're double cropping over there. So what we're familiar with here is you sow your crop in the winter or the spring, and you harvest it, and that's kind of it then for that field. Whereas over there, when I was actually there, they were harvesting soybeans.
Yeah.
And coming, like, the fields, a 500 acre field is kind of the norm over there. It would even be on the small scale of things. Farms that we were on were, on average, I'd say about 20,000 hectares that you're talking about. So,
oh my gosh.
We were in a field where they were harvesting soybeans, about 6 combines into one field, and coming, I'd say about 500 meters behind the combine, the planter was coming and they were planting corn. So that's it's literally one out, one in, and that's how they come to get the two crops in the year.
That's unreal, isn't it? It must have been a great experience to see it, Connor.
It really was. I've never experienced anything like it before in terms of scale and how efficient they are, because we traveled around the region of Mato Grosso, and we started in the south and worked our way north. And we looked at each crop on the way along. But a couple of days later, as we were then traveling back from north to south to get our plane home, some of the crops that we had looked at on the way up were now bare fields. So the crop had been harvested. So it was amazing to see, just in a short space, 1 or 2 days, just the sheer volume of land that they were able to harvest in the time. But it was also great from our point of view, because we were after doing yield estimates on that crop only 2 days prior. So we knew we got it right at the right time before the crop had been harvested. So it made our figures all the more worthwhile and accurate, let's say.
Oh, brilliant. And the reason you went is to inform your reports and inform your customers. So you were bang on the money. That's brilliant. We're all watching the corn sowing season now over in Brazil. For Irish farmers, corn is something, or maize, is something that really affects our barley price. So it's great for you to be out traveling and seeing all these things.
When we're talking to Irish farmers, sometimes you could start talking about what's going on in Brazil in terms of the corn crop and how plantings are progressing. And they're nearly looking at you to say, well, that isn't really relevant to me. But in the bigger picture, they come to understand quite quickly that it is very relevant to them, because as you kind of touched on there, if Brazil have a bumper crop of corn, that means, or corn or maize, if the maize is cheap, then more than likely more of it's going to come into the country, and that's kind of going to affect your own grain prices here in Ireland. So it's all, the trade flows are all intertwined and all important to each other.
You have a really interesting job, Connor. Do you enjoy it?
I do. I really do enjoy it.
You sound like you do.
I am passionate about it, to be fair. No 2 days are the same. We're dealing with farmers from Ireland and all across Europe, including the US. No two farms are the same either. Everyone has different challenges and different input costs and cost of production and different yields and everything like that. So it just makes it very interesting. And kind of to end on it then, the markets are always on the move, so you're never
right. Yeah, you're always on the move with them. And Black Silo is expanding, Connor. Are you taking people on?
We are. It's myself and Rory and Joanna at the minute. We are expanding. As we get busier, there's only so much the three of us can do. We are expanding. An ideal person that we're kind of looking for would have a genuine interest in the ag markets and world trade flows. There would be a lot of number crunching involved, so an Excel spreadsheet, so anything to do with Excel would be highly advantageous. We're also looking for a person then that has good communication skills, because more often than not, we have to take quite complex markets and put them and literally condense them down into simple and understandable messages then that we can then inform our customers with. So it's, communication skills are a big
positive as well.
To top it all off, you're actually in a grain silo. Your office is a grain silo.
Some people say, where did the name come out when they hear that we're a Black Silo Commodity Consulting? But they tend to smile when you tell them where our office is actually in a refurbished grain silo. Now, it doesn't sound, it is actually a lot better than it sounds, because we're well insulated. It's an amazing. It's an amazing achievement. Rory and his wife Joanna actually built it themselves, so fair due to them. I'm very warm good. And toasty in here, and there's no rain dripping on top of me, so we're all happy.
That's all that matters. Well, Connor, I'm not going to let you away now without doing our quick fire round. You have to answer these fast now. Aren't you on your toes for this one? Prong or fork?
Fork.
Lines or Barry's?
Barry's.
Breakfast or chicken roll?
Chicken roll.
Bales or pit?
Pit.
Ragwort or Bouclon?
Ragwort.
Trock or trough?
Trough.
Football or hurling?
Hurling.
Rotary herringbone, or I should add a robot there.
We go with the robot.
Forward sell or harvest sale?
Neither. There are so many other ways to manage the grain price. Staying forward sale or harvest sale is like ploughing a field with a horse and drag, because you're not sure how to drive the tractor on the headland.
Very good. And would you rather pick stones or foot turf?
I'd rather foot turf to keep me warm during the winter.
in the silo. Very good. I had a trick one in there now that I was wondering what you'd say to me now on the forward sale or the harvest. So
yeah, I know I'm at a kind of a bit of a joke, but no, it's the principle runs through. Like there are so many other ways. Manage your grain price now. I think it would be, I won't say foolish, but there is better ways than just closing your eyes and forward selling some of it, or else wait until harvest when there's a flood of grain on the market.
Absolutely, totally agree, Connor. Connor, thanks so much for joining us. Your people can look up Black Silo. You've a website, and you're on yourself and Rory are both on Twitter as well to keep track of you. But thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a million for having me. And if there are farmers listening out there that want to learn more about managing your price risk, get in touch with all of us. We go from there.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Thanks, Connor.
Thanks a million.
Thanks a million to Connor for joining us. We really appreciate him taking time out of his busy schedule to have a chat and hear all about his job. If you want to see more from Black Silo, you can go to black-silo.com. That's their website. Or if you want to get in touch with Connor, it's connor@black-silo.com. Now, on a separate note, a reminder that the Irish Farmers Journal's Renewables Roadshow kicks off this week in County Cork. And Renewables editor Stephen Robb, he does Beyond This podcast. And Stephen is leading the charge on this roadshow. So the first event is in Cork next week in the Silver Springs Hotel. And that kicks off at 7:30. Doors open from 7 p.m, starts at 7:30 and will be finished by 10 p.m. So that's the 9th of April in the Clayton Hotel, Silver Springs in Cork. The next event then, same time, 16th of April, Kilkenny New Park Hotel, 23rd of April in Cavan in Argyll Country House Hotel, and then the final event, the 30th of April in the Athlone Springs Hotel. All events start at 7:30. Topics covered are from solar on your farm to retrofitting the farmhouse, generating heat and anaerobic digestion, and you know, solar, from putting solar panels on the roofs of your sheds to looking into contracts if you're being offered, you know, a solar farm or battery storage on your land and that kind of thing. A must attend event if you're into any of those topics. That's it for this week. I hope the weather improves. Thanks to Connor for joining us, to Kevin for editing back at base. Stay safe and we'll catch up again soon.
We're currently looking for young people across Ireland to interview on the podcast. If you know someone who's under the age of 35 that has an interesting story, career or experience that you want to share, then send on their name and get in touch with the Young Farmers Journal team. We want to give a voice to young people across rural Ireland. What issues are currently bothering you? Get in touch by emailing youngstock@farmersjournal.ie or send us a WhatsApp voice note to 086 83 66465.